and to them that look for Him. All the time we're looking for Him, the true church is praying, awake, O heavenly wind. And the Lord asked Ezekiel, when He carried him out over the, looking over the valley of dry bones, shall these bones live? God wasn't asking him to be informed. He wanted Ezekiel to know, and Ezekiel knew, I don't know. Thou knowest. So we keep looking out, and we keep saying the Lord to the Lord, only You, O God, know. I don't. But that won't keep us from praying for the Spirit of God to blow one more time upon God's little garden, God's enclosed garden. Whether you have come to experiential acquaintance with this or not, God had to plant you, or you wouldn't be here. Neither would I. If you'll turn with me this morning to the 6th chapter of the little book of Hosea, to you young ones, that's if you'll pass all the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and keep going, you'll run into it as you head towards the New Testament. I tell you that, for I hope you brought your Bible. You wouldn't go to a classroom leaving your books in your locker. I don't think. So I hope you brought it and you will pay attention. For some reason or another, crickets like to get in here. And I walk around those that are living, I pick them up and I throw them outside. Because I know they're gonna die in here. But when I was picking them up, I saw this little note that someone had written, and here was the directions. Be quiet. Pay attention. Last warning. Now, I don't know if that was Heather to the children or if it was paying to Heather. I don't know. But that's my warning. Be quiet. Pay attention. Now, I'm not going to say last warning. I may warn you again. But I trust that you came with some preparation, or at least seeking the Lord for some preparation of heart to receive from Him. And if you would you bow with me as we seek His dear face? Holy Father, there are times when my jesting, joking, brings guilt . But I'm asking for divine favor and mercy that I and these can, for a few minutes, become serious minded. Or if we were reminded, and I sat there thinking that it is our seeking after and praying for that prepares our heart for the reception of Christ. Be it a return in a small manner to the church today, to one in his or her prayer time, or in the study of scriptures. Here's that small glimpse, dim view, that prepares us for a brighter manifestation, for if we do not have these, his appearing shall be all of a sudden, shall be as bright, far brighter than the noonday sun, and shall be so startling, so alarming, we'll do far more than Saul of Tarsus fall on our faces and saying, "Who art thou? What would you have me do?" That time we'll know that thou art the Christ, the King, and the Lord. And your brightness and us in that pitiful condition, we'll be crying out to that which has no ears, the rocks and the mountains, that which our voice cannot shake, cannot cause a reaction, and yet we'll be begging for them to fall on us. Hide us from thy face. Dear God, help us in this time state. For thy appearance, I pray it increase if we have not give. And if we do have, increase our spiritual appetite and a gnawing hunger which stays in pursuit of Thee. Father, I know that this is a dead letter. I know that it cannot of itself speak. Written words have no life, they have no authority, and they have no power except He who had them written make them living words today. Help us that we might find ourselves here and that we might hear what the Spirit of God has to say to His church today. I pray you'll have these dear souls. Have your children in various places for thy name's sake and for thy great glory. Hear us, our God and our Father, for we ask it in the only name wherein, whereby we are able to communicate with thee. Thy dear Son. Amen. Hosea chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord. Let us return. For he hath torn. If we return, he will heal us. He hath smitten. And if he hath, and if we return, he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? I was taught that the 2 days were the time of the Gentiles. And after those 2 days, then the nation of Israel would be revived. I don't believe any of that now. But I do believe that this has to do with us presently. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, I've quoted that verse to you many times. Then shall we know. Not what I learned yesterday, not the experience I had yesteryear. Then shall I know if I follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. I have hope of the latter rain. Not that God will revive and revival to America, I do not have any hope whatsoever, but that God will revive his church before his Son steps out of glory to come receive her. Verse 4 is the text that I would like to speak to you about this morning. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? The secondborn of Joseph's sons, one of the great biblical characters of the Old Testament who so resembled Christ. When that son was born to him, he named him Ephraim. God has made me to forget. Now God will make me prosperous. First son, I'm forgetting. Second son, now God shall make me prosperous. And Judah, that tribe that remained with God faithful for many years when the nation of Israel went astray. Two, of God's choice groups of people. And now, God's asking the question. Again, not because He doesn't know, not because He has no answers, doesn't know what I can do for them, but to bring it weighty upon their own mind. What more can I do for you? In chapter number 5 of verse 5, we'll get back to 4 here and 6 in a minute. Well, 4, chapter 5, verse 4. They will not frame their doings. That's Ephraim and Israel, if you look at verse 3. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. They just keep on as they are. And the reason that they will not frame their doings to turn back to God is because the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with him. But then there will be a day, verse number 6, they shall go with their flocks, with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. And I wish somehow that God, the truth, God, the living God, would once again appear on the scene and reveal himself. For we've all got this God that we fashioned with our own hands and we formed in our own minds. And we think that if any time that I desire to return and seek the Lord that I can find Him. It is not so. They'll seek His face, but they shall not find Him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Now in chapter 6 and verse number 4, O Ephraim and Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Your goodness is just like a morning cloud, rises, has a little promise of rain, has a little promise of sheltering you from the burning sun, but it passes away. Your goodness is as the early dew. It evaporates shortly. That's your goodness. Two choice groups of people. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:4, you need not turn. I'll quote the best I can, paraphrase it. I know that whatsoever God doeth. If God works in your heart, saving, if God implants faith and saving grace it shall be forever. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. It might increase. It might grow. It might develop. But it's all of God's doings. Nothing can be put to it. Does that relieve me of the responsibility? No. No. Want to make sure that I call faith is the faith of Christ. Not something I'm calling faith. Nothing can be put to it, nor doesn't matter the circumstances that you ever are in. Nothing can take from it. I don't care what God sends your way. It cannot destroy that God has worked within. You may get upset, but it won't destroy the work of God in your soul. You may fall 100 times, but every time you get up, and none of your falls will take away from what God has done in your heart. Does that give you liberty to live as you choose? No. Wouldn't abuse the grace of God by taking to myself liberty to willfully sin. Just not going to do it. But it matters not in all our resolutions. Make them whatever morning, Friday, Thursday, Friday, whatever is the first. It won't be 2 weeks. Until they'll all fall. We are but dust. Any good deeds, any acts that you perform that ever reach the heart of God, any of them, comes directly from the work of God within your soul. Anything that ascends heavenward is the direct work of the Spirit of God in your soul. Every last one of us can be a good father or a good mother. We can be a good husband or a good wife. We could be a good worker to our employer. We could be a good worker with those around us. But it doesn't add anything to our standing with God. Not one thing. And there's a multitude of good, honest people that's going to go to hell because in their hearts God never made them bad people. And there's a group of people standing on the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to him, Matthew 25, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. I was hungry, You gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me, and I was in prison, and you visited me. Now here's a question that every child of God at the very portal of glory asks him. When did I ever see you hungry or naked or in prison or as a stranger? When? The reason why a child of God does not keep record. Did this good deed today? And did this good deed? No. Because all good deeds that we perform to mankind, and you ought to be, is kind and benevolent and as gracious as you can be to anybody that will be receptive of that. But we don't keep record because we know that it didn't add anything to our acceptance before God. And if you give a thirsty soul a cup of water to drink, it's only because God gave it to you. And if you give a naked person clothing, it's only because God gave it to you. They had no personal motive in what they did. They just kept on doing because it's right to do right. And they didn't have a pen and pencil in pocket, a pen and paper in pocket, so that they could record that good thing that they did. Don't sit around boasting of any good thing, but you've automatically lost any reward that you would have ever gained. By boasting about any good that you've done. Psalm 16, backwards. Psalm 16. Children, I do not eliminate any one of us from the possibility of God one day saying, your goodness was as the early morning dew. Well, I've been serving God for 20 years. Yeah, and God said, if the righteous man turns toward wickedness, all his righteousness shall be forgotten. The possibility of me departing from God is just as real. It is more real to me than the possibility of entering glory. Well, doesn't that degrade Christ and His work? Well, not to me it doesn't, because the very possibility of all my goodness fading away enhances the person of Christ to me. I'm going, if I enter glory, solely upon Him. Psalm 16. I know that David is the penman. I know that David experienced this personally. But I want you to learn to read not only the Psalms, but all the Old Testament, even the historical, the Levitical priesthood, sacrifices and all. I want you to begin reading it with an eye to the Lord Jesus, the Psalms. And Christ, beginning with the prophets and in the Psalms, opened to those two disciples the things concerning himself. So all the Psalms are about Christ, but we find ourselves in them also. So listen to his word, O my soul. Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness, all that I do, everything from the breaking of bread to feed the thousands, to the provision of the woman at the well living water. All my good acts extends not to thee. You can't add anything to God. That means something was missing. My goodness extendeth not to thee. My soul, if I had not come, and all mankind been assigned to hell, that would not have taken one thing from God. Nor one thing. He'd still be God. And he'd be just. And if Christ saves a few, that won't add anything to God. It's impossible. All it will do is add to the work of the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Equal with the Father? Yes, he was. All the glory that God had? Yes. Having or not having the possibility of anything added to him? Right. But just remember now that he emptied himself. Verse 3. It doesn't extend to God, but it extends to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Now listen, children. Christ speaking to you. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. You say, there is no other God. I don't know that in your heart. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Self may be our biggest idol. May be. And most of all our sorrows lie at the foot of self-love. Christian is learning something about dying. And he's learning, or she's learning something about God destroying all our idols and establishing his true identity in our souls. O Ephraim and Judah, almost here, the heart throbs of God that has done so much to them and for them. He said, everything I've done, you've forgotten. And all the goodness that you've done towards your neighbors in my name, it's forgotten. It's gone away. Now, folk, many, let me say most, read the scriptures to prove what they already believe. This is what I believe. You go looking for it, I guarantee you, God will help you find it. If you want to hold on to everything and God not be your teacher. And most go looking to the scriptures to judge any acts that they might participate in, but all the children of God come to the scriptures as disciples. That is, a learner or a pupil. I do not, neither do I want you to come as a Pharisee that has reached a point in your life, my life, that we are beyond personal application of any passage of Scripture. Folks, that's what I would have been had God left me alone in that I was taught. Pastoring, and it was a promising career. A large church had 8 or 10 rooms on the side of it, as big as this room. Had an auditorium that was bigger than a gym, because that's what it was built for a sanctuary to come along later. When we had the money. On my way up, seat over 1,000 people, I saw it full on a couple of occasions. One where we showed the film on hell, didn't know any difference. Thought this is the way it was supposed to be. Over 1,000 people come to watch that film on hell. And I don't know how many walked down the aisles that night and made professions that I never saw them again. And I go home thinking something's wrong here. Something's not right about this. And I kept giving invitations, and I kept seeing people come weeping and stand up making their commitment to Christ, and I'd see their goodness pass as they early do. All the time, there was something within me saying this is all wrong. And I'd begun to throw away all of it. And the folks that were in charge of the bus ministry, ever how many we were running, were putting prizes under seats and promising to those that got this many in that they would get this. And I stopped it all. I said, it's not right. And two of the outstanding men visited me one night and tried for hours to convince me, if we continue on and we just win one soul, it's worth it. I said, what about the hundreds and thousands we're damning with the lie? But if we just win one, and I last thing I said, if you can ever show me in Scripture where the great apostle ever used anything other than the simple declaration of truth. I'll adopt it. We'll go back to it. Well, my time did not last long after God began opening up the scriptures to me. But He could have left me there, and I'd still be in it. And as a Pharisee, they were great masters in Israel that kept the law, at least in their own mind, they kept the law. This is what the law teaches. Therefore, we are right in believing that. Now listen to a man, blind, healed, condemned by the religious leaders, brought to them to question. You're going to give an answer. They said, well, I told you, you're not going to believe me if I tell you again. But I'll leave you with this. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And you know what they said to him? You were altogether born in sin. Not us. The reason we know you were born in sin is because you came into the world blind. Condemning a naturally blind man when they cannot see themselves. You altogether born in sin. One thing about it, you're not going to teach us. So they cast him out. See, the only thing that qualifies me for salvation is being a sinner. And the only thing that qualifies me as being a pastor is God saving me as a sinner. And all I can tell you is what He did for me. That I'm looking and hoping He will do for you. And the Jews looked at Him in John 7 and they marveled and said, how knoweth this man letters, that is, writings, translated one time scripture, having never been taught. He didn't attend our schools. He didn't sit under our noted scholars, teachers. And yet, He was the only and is the only one in glory. Acknowledged as being qualified to take the book and open it. I can preach to you, but I can't open the book. I can't open your heart to receive. But there's one worthy that sits on the throne of God that has the keys of life. And the keys of death, He alone is worthy to take the book. Not we preachers be trained in whatever schools we might attend or have attended. He's the only one. The one thing that I keep asking God, don't ever let me become a professional preacher like the Pharisees. And the devil says, well, why don't you just go and declare truth and pass out a little Sunday school lesson of information and we can all leave with a smile on our face. Oh, sometimes you can require of them a holy walk. Holy actions. And holy motives. And for a few minutes, all of you sitting under the preaching will determine I'm going to do better You know how long it lasts? About as quick as the morning dew when the sun's up. You forget all about what you promised. Dear ones, there can be a great degree of reformation in your heart without grace being there. And a term widely and for the most part incorrectly used today is accepting Jesus. And it's brought about a lot of moral improvements. Now I'm a Christian, therefore I must do this, behave like this, can't go there, can't talk like that. But it's also brought about a get out of jail card. Free. You can just about do whatever you want to do because you've got this card in your wallet that says you accepted Jesus and He'll let you out of jail. And it has left the great majority inwardly at the same place they were prior to their decision. It's brought about some modifications in their lives, but they don't last. If God does not help us, we'll go back doing the same things we were previously engaged in. Visiting the same places that we quit for a while after we accepted Jesus. And return to our language that we formerly used prior to accepting Jesus that lasted like the morning dew. A newborn baby leaves the hospital, and from that day throughout life, he or she is in the process of becoming. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, you stop and think about it a minute. All of us here are in the process of becoming. And you know the lodestone that is drawing us? That which has our heart. That's what we're becoming. Without the new birth, one always will be what he or she was when they entered the world. He or she might become religious, but they are religious with the same old nature. The one thing essential imperative that will leave every one of us without any goodness, every one of us without any goodness is a brief moment under the all-seeing searching eyes of He that sits on the throne. You ever had God look in your heart? Has God ever drug out all the skeletons you got in your heart? Made you deal with them? Revelation 1:14, His eyes were as a flaming fire. It'll burn up everything about us except that which He has done within. Four times the psalmist used this. There is none good, none that doeth good. None. Now Paul, Romans 3:12, if you'll look with me. Romans chapter 3, Paul brings that over for all Old Testament. It's the truth of God. That's why so much of it is quoted throughout the New Testament. So Paul brings it over. I said 12. Read in Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Well, that's a joke almost in American churches today. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Folk, if you want a picture of you outside Christ, when you get home, read verses 13 through 18. I'll tell you what Mr. Tozer said. More spiritual progress can be made in one short moment of speechless silence in the awesome presence of God than in years of mere study. Just one short moment in speechless silence in the awesome presence of God. My soul, how few know anything about that. If you ever find out what he's talking about, one of the first things you learn there that will forever remain with you throughout time, I have no goodness. You are naked. You are as Adam or Eve in the day when God came to them. My goodness does not extend to thee. And if perchance it extends to any of the children of God, it won't last as far as my doing. I have no goodness to commend myself to God. You talk about stripped naked. Just a short, short moment. We couldn't stand much. It'd destroy us. And what I'm talking about, emptiness before God, my goodness, like a morning dew. It's not something learned at our initial conversion experience, because every one of us, if you have been truly converted, we rise from our knees with a peace within, with a felt pardon, and we get up thinking we are now good creatures, and we will always be doing good. And all that soon evaporates. And in our early years, our good deeds to us had such promise. Boy, I'm a Christian. Look what I'm doing now. And we swelled with pride because of what good things we were doing for God. And all the while it was making us look at the sparkling robe of what we would become and what we were when we got off our knees. And all that that happened back then, like the years of time, is brought about the wrinkled faces, the lame walks, the constant pain. And we say, what happened to it? God's saying it's just like it was. It all evaporated. All that's in the physical manifest, that in the spirit, it all is evaporated. And if I've ever done any one soul good, it doesn't attach any goodness to me. Well, you say God's going to reward His servants with it. Might be so. But only time can reveal that. And I live with a constant awareness. It's all vain and hopeless. In my early years of progressing on to become a great Christian and do great things for the Lord was like a morning cloud. And I believe at the beginning of our walk, every one of us could relate to Simon Peter. Lord, although everybody here may be offended in Thee, I won't. I'll go all the way to death with You. But the psalmist asked God this. Psalm 17:5. Hold up my goings in Thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. And every morning this week, I have wakened to the realization of my depravity, uselessness, helplessness. And what with the, if I said this out there, everybody would think, boy, he's gone off and committed adultery and stole. And I'm not talking about outward sins. I've just been awakened to the realization of that I have naturally. It's corrupt. And a brother asked me Monday morning about the services here. And I told him what I lay there for probably an hour thinking about. I told him, I can describe it like this. My preaching is like the rain falling in the middle of New York City. It just hits asphalt and concrete. And it's washed away into the gutters and sewers. But I said, every once in a while, somebody's in one of those high-rise apartments that's got a balcony, has stuck a flower or a plant out there. And though most of my preaching is like water falling that hits nothing that can receive it, every once in a while there's a pot that God waters, but it's rare in this day. I'll close. Your goodness is as a morning cloud. Your goodness is as the early dew, it goeth away. Verse 5. Hosea 6. God said, because it's like this, I have hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. Folk, the one thing I know, is that the word of God shall not return unto him void. And the grief is that God is bringing more to condemnation under preaching today than he is to salvation. Paul said, I'm a savior of life to life. I'm a savior of death to death every time I preach. God said, I'm killing them by the words of my mouth. What are the words of your mouth, Lord? Those that I put in the prophets. And I have not yet risen to the height of which my Savior was when he walked away from a crowd. And in the secrecy of his own heart between he and God, he said, Father, I thank you. Thank thee that the wise and the prudent didn't hear what I said. For you have hid it. I've not yet risen to that. I've got an aching, a breaking and a grieving heart. For I fear if Christ came back today, he would catch some of you in an awful state. And grieved to death that we have not enough power here to bring our children to birth. Well, you're just an old pessimist. No. I'm a realist. And if God doesn't step in and intervene, they're going to leave us in a few short years. And there's a thousand different gospels out there that they can readily receive and go comfortably all their life in religion. God have mercy and God help us.